Protesters have gathered outside the Russian embassy in Kiev following Russia's seizure of three Ukrainian naval ships off the coast of Crimea. The incident marks a significant escalation in the tensions between the two countries. Comes after a Russian tanker blocked the ship's access to the Sea of Azov and Russia fired on the Ukrainian vessels. Several Ukrainian soldiers were injured. Russia says it was provoked.
Since Russia annexed Crimea in 2014, it has controlled both sides of the Kerch Strait, the only entrance to the Sea of Azov. Overnight, Russia placed a tanker beneath the Crimea Bridge in the strait, blocking an important Ukrainian trading route. Dr. Alexei Muraviev is an associate professor of national security and strategic studies at Curtin University.
The Strait of Kerch is the strategically important narrow that connects the Sea of Azov with the Black Sea and by that with the Mediterranean and at the Atlantic Ocean. But from the geopolitical perspective, after Russia's annexation of Crimea, it's one of few areas by which Ukraine can interact with the outside world by means of maritime trade. So apart from the port of Odessa, which is Ukraine's largest Black Sea port, the Sea of Azov harbors a couple of other major seaports, in particular the port of Mariupol and the port of Berdyansk. So any prospects of conflict escalation in the Sea of Azov or means that Ukrainian trade would suffer significantly.
Dr. John Besmes from the Center for European Studies at the Australian National University says Russia built the Crimea Bridge strategically.
That bridge was built at a height which was deliberately intended to prevent many Ukrainian vessels from getting through in the first place. It was built deliberately with that in view, and and the Ukrainians have been trying to, nonetheless, to use the straits and to get through to their ports, and that was what they were trying to do in this case, I think, and they were blocked. They were blocked by a large vessel. A tanker was placed across the area below the bridge. So even if they used their smallest and most agile ships, they were being blocked. And this is in contravention of international law of the sea and a great many other things. This is, in a sense, a culmination of a long-running process of attrition against Ukraine conducted by Russia. And Russia has been, after all, for the last 5 years at least, ever since the fall of Yanukovych, has been conducting a campaign of aggression of all kinds, right across the board, so-called hybrid warfare, lying propaganda, trade wars, military intimidation, you name it, and outright military actions, of course, as we've seen in Donbass and as we saw, though in muted form, in Crimea.
President Poroshenko has since appealed to the Ukrainian parliament to impose martial law.
He may be doing that as a gesture. He may be doing it because he fears attacks on other fronts. He may feel that with Russia having called his rather puny military bluff, he doesn't have the resources really to defend the situation on the sea, whereas over in Donbass, he does have resources. If Russia increases the pressure in Donbass, Ukraine can reply.
But the Western response to the escalation could carry implications for China, which Dr. Besmes says is sympathetic to Russia.
What the Russians are doing in the Black Sea now is, on a smaller scale, similar to what China is purporting to do in the South China Sea. And I think what they look at is, what is the response of the international community? What is the response of the Western alliance?
Dr. Muraviev says the two nations' opposing views of the Kerch Strait usage means it is effectively left to whoever has the superior military force, Russia.
The only way for Ukraine to continue to pursue this escalation pattern with Russia is in hope that NATO or the United States won't intervene on Ukraine's behalf. And as I have said earlier, the West is not prepared to challenge Russia militarily over Ukraine, despite the fact that Ukraine continues to receive political, moral, and economic support from both Europe and, and the United States. So the situation remains very fragile. The situation remains quite dangerous also because there are high stakes with regards to politics. There is a looming presidential elections in Ukraine, which is due to take place in March, though it may be compromised because of the possible imposition of the martial law in the country. On the other hand, Putin's government is suffering from the decline in approval ratings at home because of domestic problems, including the controversial pension report, which saw a massive backlash from the Russian electorate. So in this situation, neither President Poroshenko or President Putin can afford to show any weakness.
Associate Professor Alexei Muravyev from Curtin University, ending that report by Caro Wagner.